Today's daf and Pesachim Nidah brought to you from Johannesburg is daf Chet, and we were just learning that we needed the psak, that specifically halachas like Rabbi Eliezer in four places, and only in four places, despite the fact that the Mishnah in Braita says three of those four places. As a matter of fact, the Girsa that we have in the Braita says all four of the places. Nonetheless, we can't rely on what the Gemara calls Talmud, because Talmud of the Tanaim is not meant to be taken as a final word. It's not the equivalent of a Stam Mishnah, where we have a psak, basically, of the Beit Din HaAcharon of Klal Yisrael at that time, and then we wouldn't have been chelik on it. We always look for a stam mishnah, things like that, but where we have a psak, halacha kit, that is said by Eitana, it isn't meant to be an analysis of all of the shitot, and a final definition, the way the Amoraim set out to compare all the various sources, and as you went later in the generations, they got more and more of these sources clear. It was basically their first take on the approach of what was ever local, their own pshat that they had, the pshat of those that had spoken to them, but it was not meant to be a universal pshat. Today the Gemara wants to ask, why is it, and we're on the bottom now of Zayin Amud Beit, why is it that we said that there are only four cases where we're passing like Rabbi Eliezer, where we can identify more, because the Tuleka, last line, are there indeed no additional places where we find that Rabbi Yonam Shmuel say that Allah and Rabbi Yezer? What about this case, Aika Dutanan? We have the famous case in Yevamot, where Rabbi Eliezer says, "Mlamdim et haktana shetema imbo." Here we're talking about a case where we have two brothers. One of whom is married with a normal marriage to a gedela. Did I say she, they were sisters? No, I forgot to mention that small fact. And the other is married to a katana, which is a marriage that's only chal mirabbanan. The problem is that the brother is who is married now to this woman that is mechayven b'dioraita dies. And his brother, who is married to the Darabonan, is in trouble because he cannot marry his brother's wife, married the Darabonan, to her sister. There we have a machlokas. What do we do? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, we persuade the Kitana to say she doesn't like him. And the din is, in that case, that's called mi'un. If she doesn't like him, the entire nisuin is botol lemafreya. It's absolved. There is no marriage. So if he had given her a get, he would not have been able to marry his sister-in-law, so to speak, because in that case she would have been min rabbonan and achot grushato, and achot grushato is just as usher as the achot ishto. But if she goes ahead and gives mi'un, so then bichlal is no problem. They were never married, never saw each other. I don't know who she is. And therefore he would be allowed to go ahead and marry the yevama. And over there, not everybody agrees. Others say that, you know what, you got to sit around, you got to wait until she grows up, and then at that point, he'll really be potter, and a number of different shittas. But we paskin says Shmuel like Rabbi Eliezer, and here Shmuel is saying that there were only four cases. This is a fifth case. It's the same person, it's Shmuel, who's paskining like Rabbi Eliezer. Answers the Gemara Yomar Shmuel Ok Rabbi Eliezer Arba'a. When he says there were only four cases, he meant four cases in Seder Taharot. I mean, all those cases we had yesterday, I think it's a coincidence they were all in Yonim, either of Nidot or General Taharot, like the Achore Kalin. He was only talking about Seder Taharot, but in other places, maybe many cases where he paskin, like Rabbi Eliezer. Av Mishar Sedarim, he katuva. By the way, I mean, of course that must be the case, because we know even more cases than the one we just brought up. Achidami Mistarva, that's a very reasonable conclusion, because after all, we also find it's none, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, as opposed to those who hold that if you don't have in the actual dough, the shear of Kala, that you are not Kayim Kala, Rabbi Eliezer says, even if in the particular dough that you made, you're not have a shear of challah, but if you keep making these small doughs, take off the bread from the tanur and put it into a basket, at the point that you have the shear of challah in the sal, even though it wasn't made that way, l'chatchila, the sal is mitzarfam l'challah, and you are chayav in challah. And we, paskin over there, same Rav Yonam Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. So, I mean, look, it cannot be that we're limited to four cases. Must be that he meant four cases in Seder Taharot. That's more, I understand what you mean. Okinami Mistara. My ume mihar dahai. All you're doing is bringing me another example. Another example doesn't mean Okinami Mistara. Doesn't add anything. You brought me an example. You gave me an answer. Now you bring me another example. It's the same answer. I mean, you're not going to prove it by bringing another case. This is not more powerful than the original case. No, says the Gemara, it is more powerful. Because it was another way out of that first case. It might have been that Shmuel was quoted as pasuk like Rebbe Eliezer there, not because he's relying on the pure pasuk of Rebbe Eliezer, but because Rabbi Elazar also said the same thing as Rebbe Eliezer. And when he says there's four cases like Rebbe Eliezer, he means four cases in which Rebbe Eliezer is unsupported by anybody else. This case, we happen to know, Rabbi Elazar also holds up, because we find in the Mishnah that it's not. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Milamdim et haKitana shetima inbo, that the Kitana is taught to be Mima in it. Now, the truth is, even though it sounds like the same case, it isn't really the same case. That case is talking about somebody's married to two women. One is a Gedola and one is a Kitana. He dies. Now, obviously, these women are not related to each other. Comes along one of his brothers, and he's miyabim the Kitana. The problem is that the Kitana was never really married to the deceased brother, and because of that, since it's only minarabonon, she can't possibly pater the Gedola, because the Yibum of a Kitana is not really considered to be Yibum. Now the problem is that there's no way for the Gedola to actually become Muteret through the marriage of this other woman. Obviously only one of the women gets Yibum. So in that case, if one of the other brothers goes and he takes the Gedola, so now we got serious problems, because you're not allowed to be Miyabim two women. Now, of course, from the same bayit, so it's from the same brother. So now the problem is that we've got two women from the same bayit being Yevamot, two different brothers, obviously. But the point is that theoretically, had he taken first the Gedola, then there would have been no problem with the Kitana at all. Even though if you take first the Kitana, there is a problem with the Gedola. But now, since already someone was Miyabim the Kitana, he really isn't allowed to take the Gedola. And therefore, there's a question of what do we do. So over there, we also say that Melamdim et haKitana shetema'im Rabbi Elazar, not to be confused, Rabbi Eliezer says that you there too are Melamdim the Kitana to say that she doesn't like this brother who was Miyabim her, and that would be Mavatal the Yibum, just like it's Mavatal a marriage. And because of that, the Yibum of the Gedola is a perfectly good Yibum, which sounds exactly the same, and therefore, apparently, Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Says the Gemara, but it's not the same, because we know that the Gemara over there explains why we need to actually say that Shmuel Paskins like both of these. Because Atzru Matzuchinome, we see over there that you have to Paskin both like Rebbe Eliezer and like Rebbe Elazar. And the Gemara there explains why. It's not our sugya, but the point is, if you need two separate psakalochas, it's obvious that they're lodam yin hadadi. And I cannot support, they're not similar, I cannot support Rebbe Eliezer with the psak on Rabbi Elazar. So that can't possibly be the reason.
It's supported by the other case if the Gemara says it isn't supported by the other case. So that makes no sense. Did we not say over there in Yevamot that you actually need both cases and cannot learn one from the other? Oh, you're right. Okay. The reason that I might have thought that the first case of the Psak of Rabbi Yonah Mishmuel about the Mema in it is not absolute proof is because maybe he's only Paskinak Rabbi Eliezer, because we know that Rabbi Yonah ben Baba supports that Shita. But when he was saying there were four cases that Allah is Rabbi Eliezer, he meant four cases where Rabbi Eliezer is unsupported by any other Shita. Where do we see that Rabbi Yonah ben Baba supports the case of Rabbi Eliezer? Tanya, Rabbi Yonah ben Baba Heida Kabishat Varim. There were five things that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was made in front of the Bezin of Yavda that were Makabal Halacha from him. And they are Shimima'anim et haKtanot. Now that seems to include both cases. In other words, the two cases of Ktana. Both cases we say that were Mima'anim. And Shimisi'im et haYisha al pi Edechad, that a woman whose husband went overseas and never came back. We have only one witness that said that he knows that this guy died. That we're allowed to be semich on that one witness, and that's all complex. So you'll recall, because of the fact that the woman herself does research, we're semich on that because she'll lose too much. Sheniskal tarnagol b'Yerushalayim al sharagat hanefesh, and that the din of shor haniskal is not limited to shor, so that in an awful case where a bird was pecking around a peck right through the skull of an infant and killed the infant, they actually were became skila on that tarnago. And our yain ben arbaim yom should nasecha gabim mizbeach, that even though yain has to be yain hamishaker, it has to be able to have enough alcohol to make you drunk, and only then is it kosher enough to be brought on the mizbeach, 40 days of fermentation from the time of squeezing was used for the mizbeach, if necessary, and al tamid shachar shekarav be'arba shaot. So these are the things that he was made, and apparently because of that, we can't bring a raya, since even though I say Halacha Rabbi Eliezer, I know that there was supportive evidence to that. And when it says ktanot, does it not mean ktanot, the two cases, chadad Rabbi Elazar v'chadad Rabbi Eliezer? So that means that both cases were supported by this shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. And so, Mamela, when I brought you Achinami Mistavra by talking about the case of challah, where you take it out of the oven, I knew exactly what I was saying. I needed to bring you a case that was unsupported by anybody else. That proves that I was right in saying that there really are other cases in the other Siddurim, and we were only talking about Seder Ta'arot. Says, well, not necessarily. Maybe the word ketanot is just the generic ketanot. Doesn't mean both cases of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Eliezer. He was really only talking about Rabbi Elazar's case, which doesn't support Rabbi Eliezer, because the Gemara made it necessary to have two different piskelov. The reason he said ketanot is that little girls will tell them to be mamayin. That's all it means. In what case? Oh, in the case of Rabbi Elazar. Not in the case of Rabbi Eliezer, maybe. No, says the Gemara. If he was referring to generic little girls, then he would be referring to generic women. But when it comes to the women, he uses a lashon yachid. He doesn't use the plural. He says the case of a woman, not women whose husbands went overseas that we can rely on the Eidus of an Eid Echad. So then Gabi Ishanami did name Nashim. Why does he say Ha'isha? He should say Nashim. So clearly, name a Nashim the Alma, that would have meant women in general. Ela. So clearly, since in one case we insist on looking at a particular woman, in the other case when we say ketanot, we can't mean general ketanot, we must mean the two cases of ketanot, one of which is Rabbi Eliezer, one of which is Rabbi Elazar. Both cases we teach to be mema, and that's the point. Shmamina dafka ketani shmamina. He meant exactly what he said, and he supported Rabbi Eliezer, which case maybe that's why Shmuel was quoted as pasuking like him. V'chein amar Rabbi Elazar. Now, furthermore, this is a bit confusing because this Rabbi Elazar is not the Rabbi Elazar that we just spoke about, who is a Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa. This is the Amora Rabbi Elazar, who is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, and of course, neither of them are to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Elazar also paskin, like Rabbi Eliezer, in four cases. So we ask for two leka. Are there not other cases on him too? What's not? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Malamdim Taktanash Tima Imbo, and there too Rabbi Elazar said, the Amora said, Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. Now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, we just answered that. We just explained that Shmuel had that case, and he said that he meant only in Arba Siddurim, we suggested. So what's our problem? That must be what Rabbi Elazar means when he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. And you'll try to tell me the same answer. Rabbi Elazar like Rabbi Eliezer. In Arba, he was only referring to four cases in Seder Ta'arot. And the same thing you said about Rabbi Yonah Meshmua. But really, Bishar Siddurim Ika, there's lots of other cases maybe in other Siddurim. You can't get away with that here. Take a look at this conversation and you'll see that it is not true that in other Siddurim there were other cases. Mi Ika, I'll prove to you from the following brayta, what's not. Havered v'akufar v'alotum v'aketef yesh lehem shvi'it udlidmehem shvi'it. Yesh lehem bi'ur v'lidmehem bi'ur. So what happened over there is that the brayta tells us that things that I would have thought are not really foodstuffs, and since they're not foodstuffs, do not have a din of Shemitah, I would have thought they're just like bushes or trees, but bushes and trees, there's no isser of selling, it's like wood. However, those things that are aromatic woods, so let's say if you have rose or you have balsam or these I don't know what the other minim are here, and it's not going to help to tell me their Latin name because I still won't know what they are, so even if the art school guesses at something or Rashi tells us some word, I don't know what it is. But anyway, these things, because of the fact that they are used for smell, also have shvius. And the Achronim say that it's not really true that something that stam smells, it has to have application. That smell has to have application of food. So some people will use rose with their tea or so on and so forth. So over here, surprisingly, balsam, which does not have a fruit at all that's edible, and the ketaf is the as we learned Pitum HaKetoret, the ketaf is the resin that's notev miatzeh ketaf. So it drips from the tree. It's a resin of the tree, and that should just be wood. Nonetheless, it says in this braita that it is considered to be a fruit, because a tree that doesn't produce fruit and yet produces a usable substance for food is considered to be that is the fruit of the tree. Now, not everybody holds this. So Rav Pedat said, you know who the author of this is? I'll tell you which Tana it is. Man Tana Kitfa Pera. It is Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Zera said to him, you know, between you and your dad, you're causing a lot of trouble. Because what you've done, Chazid, Minach, Umiyavuch, Kasharitu Katfa La'alma, between the two of you, you're going to end up being matir, the din of Ketef. Because you said, who's the author of Kitfa Pera? It is Rabbi Eliezer, your father, Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedat, said that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer only in four cases. And if you are correct that this Tana is Rabbi Eliezer, then between you and your father, you identifying the Tana as Rabbi Eliezer, and your father saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer only in four cases, which would mean, but not in this case, are saying that we do not paskin that kitfa is pera. And therefore, between the two of you, you've ended up being matir keta. Now, if you're right that when his father, Rabbi Eliezer, only paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in four, then the son of Rabbi Eliezer should have said, now wait a minute, what does this have to do with my father's psak like Rabbi Eliezer? He was only talking about Seder Taharot. This is not in Seder Taharot. So clearly, he must have meant that the psak is like Rabbi Eliezer in four cases all over Shas. So we can't use this teretz when it comes to Rabbi Eliezer. We could only, to Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedat. We have to find some kind of other answers. Because imita lemele ki yomar abba, my dad only said that the halacha is Rabbi Eliezer in four cases b'seder taharot, afa b'shar sidrei ika. There's lots of other cases. But since he didn't say that, obviously that isn't true. In which case, we've got a problem. What are we going to do about the fact that in Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedat, paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, in the case of the Kitanot? So now it's a contradiction. Before he said it's only four cases, which did not include the case of Kitanot, and now he's adding the Kitanot. Oh, we'll have to take the other approach. The other approach is that the reason that he paskined like Rabbi Eliezer in that case is because Rabbi Eliezer agrees with him. Since Rabbi Eliezer said in a similar case of Ketanot that you're melamdim to be mima'enet, titzan Rabbi Eliezer omer, melamdim et haketanash tiba'inbo. And of course, the Gemara asked the same question. But I thought we said that you cannot support Rabbi Eliezer's Ketanot Mima enet from Rabbi Eliezer's mima enet. Therefore, this is not good. Mikoi v'atzrichim itzrachin elu v'lo dami l'adadi. I thought the Gemara says that we need both cases. Now you can't be samech on Rabbi Eliezer's case to paskin the same as Rabbi Eliezer. So how are you going to explain that? You're right. It's the other answer. Mishum dekoy Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava kavatei, and then we go through, of course, the whole limud to prove that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava paskin, and what he was saying that the halachas Rabbi Eliezer in Arba, he meant halachas Rabbi Eliezer in Arba where he stood on his own, and not where he was supported by anybody else, and indeed that means cross the board, four cases and only four cases. Really not. How about this case? Vetuleka? Vatzan. Rabbi Akiva Omer Umra Bracha Revi'i B'fnei Atzma. The question is, what do you do on Matzah Shabbat when you say the Avinenu? So, according to Rabbi Akiva, on Matzah Shabbat, you've got an extra bracha in Shmoneh Esrei. You don't include it in Chonin Adar, like we do. Rabbi Eliezer says, you say it in the bracha of Hoda'ah. And, Rabbi Eliezer, paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So now we have more than four cases across all of Shas. Because we didn't have that answer of only Seder Taharot and Libid Rabbi Eliezer. Omer Rav Abba, no, that's different over there. That case, Ahud Yomar Mishum Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel, when this was said, Legabe Atachan Atanon, that was going Alibra Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel, I showed you, the Tanya Rebbe Akiva Omer, Omra Barachar Revit Bifnei Atzma, Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel Omer, Omra Bahoda'a. So obviously, if we find the Makor of this halacha is Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel, it must be that Rebbe Eliezer was quoting Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel. So there, that has nothing to do with what he said, we paskin like Rebbe Eliezer. In that case, he meant we're paskin like Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel. That was the point. That's very interesting, since he lived before him. It's very good to be quoting him when he wasn't even born. V'kashish b'nei tuva, he's much older than that, because Rebbe Eliezer actually was the brother-in-law of Rebbe Gamliel Hazaken. And Rebbe Chanina was a son of Rebbe Gamliel. So how in the world could you say that he was quoting him? It doesn't make sense. Even if they were alive at the same time, and he was a kid. No, okay, yes, fine, I'm sorry. What I meant was, the point is that since we see here that the Shita of Omra Bahoda'a was also said by Rebbe Chanina, because of that, we paskin like Rebbe Lazar, paskins like Rebbe Eliezer. And once again, when we said that the whole halakha like Rebbe Eliezer, according to Rebbe Lazar, is only in four cases all across Shas, what we mean is four cases where he stands on his own without being supported by anybody else. Therefore, this is not a problem, this case. Indeed, Umikoi, does Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel really hold that? V'atanya, when we run into a problem, remember, is where we are going to be saying the bracha called Havinenu. Havinenu was a shortened form of the 18 brachot, and there were times you could say Havinenu. So if you needed to say a separate bracha on Mitzvah Shabbos or Mitzvah Yontev, then you couldn't say Havinenu, because there was never a nusach of Havinenu that was approved that included Atachan Antana. So then you couldn't get away with saying Havinenu, because you needed to include that extra bracha or include it in the Atachanin Adam Da'at, the way we do, and there was no provision for that in Havinenu. Now, Matzah Shabbos or Matzah Yom Kippur, and that's where we're going to get into the problem. So here it says, V'atanya, or Yom Kippur bitpalal sheva umitvadeh. You have the seven brachot, except if you have an art school mouse who has the Shmoneh Esrei for Yom Kippur. But the rest of Klal Yisrael daven seven brachot on Yom Kippurim, and you say vidui on the chakras of Yom Kippur, mitpalel sheva and mitvadeh, a musaf mitpalel sheva and mitvadeh, mincha mitpalel sheva and mitvadeh, b'ne'ila mitpalel sheva and mitvadeh, and b'arvit, believe it or not, you can also daven sheva, because if you, instead of saying Shmoneh Esrei, you say Havinenu, so then you really end up with one middle bracha, one long middle bracha, and that is a brief form of the entire Shmoneh Esrei. So you can say sheva me'en Shmoneh Esrei, because it includes a brief form of all of the various brachot. Now that's great, except for the problem that Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel says, no, you can't do that, because if you would only say Havinenu, where are you going to say Atachan Antono on Matzah Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel says, "Bishum Avotav mitpalel Shmona Esrei, mipnei shetzarich lomar havdala b'chonei nadat." Oh my God! I thought Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel was paskening like Rabbi Eliezer, that you say in a hoda'ah. If you say in a hoda'ah, there's no difference in the modim of any Shmona Esrei, even if you would have said Avinenu. So apparently we were wrong in saying the Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel Shita is the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer. On Rebbe Nachum Bar Yitzchak, you'll notice that in that case it says Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel quoted his forefathers. I'm not talking about that case. He himself, that's you, Omer Mishum Avotav, except he himself, as we saw, Lo Sfirale, Lelo Sfirale, he himself holds that it's Bahoda'a, and that in fact supports Rebbe Eliezer, which accounts for the Pesach of Rebbe Eliezer, like Rebbe Eliezer, even though Rebbe Eliezer holds Halachas Rebbe Eliezer, only in four places. Here he's really paskening like the Shita of Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel. Omer Rebbe Yirmiyahu LeRebbe Zeir, and what are you saying, man? How can we say, you're telling me that the Kitfa Pira is not Rebbe Eliezer, that you attacked? You said, well, if you're right, Mr. Padat, that between you and your dad, you've been matir the Kitfa Leyama. You must be wrong, meaning that Rebbe Eliezer is not the author of Kitfa Pira. But how can you say that? Atlo Tizba Devantana Kitfa Pira Rebbe Eliezer? Do you not yourself agree that it must be Rabbi Eliezer because of Yatznan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hama'amid Bisraf Orla Asur. Now, this is a fascinating question, which is an extension of apparently exactly the same issue that we had Legabe Shemitah. We know that both by Orla and by Shemitah, wood is not included. So a tree that has sap is not considered to be Orla. It's the fruit of the tree that's Orla. So suppose you have an Orla tree, and it has resin in it. It's within the first 3 years of its planting. You should be able to use that resin, for they had some resins that would serve as an artificial vegetarian rennet that were used to make cheese. And here it says, if you make cheese using the dripping resin of a tree of Orla, it would be Aser, and that's Rabbi Eliezer. So, I mean, and it's the same principle. He was saying that the balsam resin is considered to be Shmias. So, obviously, we've got to be saying that it is Rabbi Eliezer. There's no way out of this. He says, we're not true. Because it's a tremendous difference between balsam resin and between the resin that we're talking about over here. Because we could say, afilu tamei rabbanan, out kan lo pligi rabbanan leder Rabbi Eliezer, ela bekatva de gavza, avo bekatva de peri, modulo. Where are the rabbanan arguing? They are arguing where you have a resin that's coming directly from the wood. But where you've got resin that is coming from an immature fruit, so there's no fruit here, there's a bud. I can crush that and get a juice. That juice is also called the same thing. It's like kitva, but it's a kitva of a pera, and it's that comes directly out of the pri, and there even the rabbanan agree. So kitva the gavza means drippings that come from the bark. But kitfa de pere, they agree that that's considered to be a fruit. The Tzan Om Rabbi Yeshua Shamati Beferush, Shehama'amid Bisrafa Alin, or Bisrafa Ikarin Mutar. Somebody takes the wood, takes the bark, or he takes the leaves of a tree of Orla. There's no problem in using the crushed juice that comes from these things as an agent to make cheese. But if he took pagin, which are immature fruit, and he crushed them to use the resin for baking cheese, then it would be aser, because that is still considered to be the fruit of the tree, even though these are not edible fruit. So therefore, you do not have a raya that in such a case there would be a machlokas, the Rabban and Rebbe Eliezer, to say that Alibet Rebbe Eliezer, only Alibet Rebbe Eliezer, is the din that katfa would be pira. Because everybody might agree that katfa, of this type of katfa, from a fruit, an immature fruit, is considered to be pira. Or, there's another answer. V'ibaytema, ki pligi Rabban and Rebbe Eliezer, bi'ilano ase perot. Remember, the balsam tree is not a fruit tree at all. So it could very well be that an ilan that doesn't have fruits, even the Rabbanan would agree that if its only fruit is its resin, that is its fruit. And therefore you cannot conclude that in a fruit tree, if you use the resin, even the resin of the wood, that over there, that would be Rabbi Eliezer, that would mean that necessarily the din of katfa pera that we were talking about by Shemitah would only be Rabbi Eliezer. Because the Rabbanan might agree to that. They say, yeah, well, of course you can't use a balsam tree on Shemitah. So why? There's no fruit. That is its fruit. The resin is its fruit. They're moda de katfa zeo pirio. Titnan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein leketef shvi'it, mipnei she'en opri. The balsam does not have any application of Shemitah, as opposed to the bright that we saw earlier, because there's no fruit. V'chachomim omrim, yesh leketef shvi'it, mipnei she'kitvo zeo pirio. So it says beferish over here that the chachomim hold that we view the resin as the actual fruit of the tree. Now, when it says the chachomim, you think that chachomim is Rebbe Eliezer? I mean, man chachomim, the chachomim must be the rabbanan that argue on Rebbe Eliezer. So you see that we're 100% right. Just because it says alibet Rebbe Eliezer that you can make cheese and that would be usher, obviously that has nothing to do with the din of balsam. Amaleah Husaba came along, that famous old man, and he told him, no, actually, surprisingly, the chachomim, there are actually Rebbe Eliezer. And it's only because Rebbe Eliezer says that kitvo zeo pirio. What? How could he say that? If it was Rebbe Eliezer, then why would we be talking about Dafka and Ilan that doesn't have Perot? I thought Rebbe Eliezer says that even Ilan HaSepri, that according to him, Kitva Zehu Pirio. So then it makes no sense what he's saying. I thought, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it doesn't have to be limited to Dafka, the Ketef tree, that doesn't have any other fruit. So why in the world, in the Braita, would these supposed Chachamim who equal Rebbe Eliezer say, well, in this case, Kitva Zehu Pirio. It's not because Kitva Zehu Pirio, it's because I agree that Ketef has the din of Pirio. Answers the Gemara, he only meant, listen, you guys, I know that you argue with me about resin in general, but at least agree with me about balsam. Because over there, Kitva Zehu Pirio, he wasn't defining his own cheetah. I hold that any type of resin is considered to be a fruit, even if it's from a tree that does have fruit. But at least you guys should recognize that there's a difference between a fruit tree's resin, where you're saying it's not considered to be a fruit, and the only product of the tree, which is the balsam, that is the fruit of the tree, and Mamela gets the dinner of the Shemitah. That's what I'm saying. The Divrei de Rabban Ka'amalum. Lady D, listen. Personally, I think your sheet is off the wall. I hold that even an Ilan that's Osep Perot, the Ketef is also considered to be a pre, and therefore it falls under the dinim of Shemitah. But Liditchu, at least, Odolu Miat, at least agree with me, in the case of the balsam tree where there is no other fruit, that an Ilan She'eno Osep Perot, at least agree that Kitva Zehu Pirio, and the Rabbanan stick to their guns and say it makes no difference. A fruit is a fruit is a fruit, as opposed to the rose, which meant, yes. Ezui betula. So the Mishnah continues to say, what do we consider the word betula to mean when he said a betula is considered to be dayashaita, leave it to Rebbe Eliezer? So it explains that we do not mean a virgin, we mean a betula, that is a woman who has not seen dam. And indeed, the Braita takes it even further. A woman gets married, and at the time of intercourse, as a betula, as a literal betula, she bleeds, and she gets pregnant, and she has a baby. So she's rata da machmat leida. She is still a betula. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean she's still a betula. She's still a virgin. But since she's never bled from menses, she is still considered to be a betula in the definition of Rebbe Eliezer. And because of that, we will say daya shata. So adayin anikore la betula. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, she is still a betula because the betula that we're discussing in our Mishnah has nothing to do with the betula that means that she's never slept with anyone. The betula she'amru is a betula damim vis-a-vis menses and not betulat betulim. Really? The Omer of Kana, didn't Rav Kana say that Tana Shalosh Betulotin? We use the word Betula three different ways. We refer to a Betulat Adam, we refer to Betulat Karka, and we refer to Betulat Shikma. Shikma is a sycamore tree, and the word Betula over there, what they used to use sycamore for, was log production. So what you had over there was the original tree, which was a thin tree, not very useful, and what they would do is they would cut it. It would cut it down, and the trunk would start putting out thicker and thicker woods. So a tree that's never been cut through is called a betula. And the tree that was cut through was called a sedan shikma, which meant what is a blacksmith bang on?
Anvil.
The anvil is the thing you bang on. Yeah, so a sedan is the same word as anvil. In other words, that's the piece, that solid piece is going to start putting out these solid pieces of wood. But you'll notice it doesn't say anything about betulat damim, right? What is a betulat adam? Kozman shelo nivala, as long as there was never any intercourse. Who cares? Well, who cares? You got to identify what a betula is legabe to dinim. First of all, can a kohen gadol marry her? So we're defining, this means that she never had intercourse. Or, legabe, does she have 200 zuz for her ketubah? Or 100 zuz? So we're talking about the ketubah tamataim, and therefore I need to define what I mean with the word betula. Fine. Betulat karka. How do I define that? Well, that is kozman shelo ne'evda, karka that was never used for agriculture. And why is that important? Because either nafkamina l'nachalitan, where you're going to be bringing, you found somebody that was murdered, we don't know who it is, so the din is, you have to bring an egla arufa. You bring the egla el nachalitan. So nachalitan means something that's very hard, was never softened, was never used for anything else, and never been plowed. Or another nafkamina is l'bekach mememkar. If somebody has made a deal, signed a contract to buy karka bitula, it turns out that this thing had once been used for agriculture 100 years ago, makes no difference. The sale is canceled because he had purchased karka bitula. This is not karka bitula. And what is the meaning of bitula? Chikma? Kozman shalonik zitza. It's a sycamore that had never gone through a cut. And there the nafkamina is lamekach umemkar. And there's another difference. The other difference is that you would not be allowed to cut a sycamore tree for the first time during Shemitah. Because it says in the Mishnah, since the way to make this tree grow is to cut it down, even though normally there's no isser in cutting wood on shviyas, but there is an isser in cutting wood in a way that makes things grow. And that would be the equivalent of pruning something else instead of taking its wood. So therefore, I need to define, what do I mean by ptulat shikma, which is usser to cut on Shemitah? Something that had never been cut before. Now, if you're right in the definition of our Mishnah, that ptulah is a new concept called ptulat damim, and has nothing to do with intercourse, so then why didn't he say there are four examples of the use of the word betula when and add this case? So then litinamiha. Look, each one of the words betulot in context needs no further explanation. When you say I want to buy karka, that's a betula. You're not going to confuse that with virginess in the human sense. Or virginess in the sycamore sense, obviously. When you say, I want to buy sycamore, that is a betula. You don't mean that nobody had sex with. So you don't have to explain what you mean. But in our Mishnah, when you said the word betula, you had to say, what do I mean? Betula shamru, I meant even if she had a baby already. So obviously, that is not the word betula. That is the term betula as explained with additional adjectives. I'm not talking about additional adjectives. The adjectives explain themselves what the word means. I'm saying where you find this word without an adjective, what does it mean? The death is only three cases. So dafka kikatani mita delet leshem levai, that has no further adjective to define it. Avobimina deed leshem levai, it has to have an adjective along with it. That I'm not claiming is an additional case of betula. That's not the point. The point is that the word betula in these three cases have to do with an action that turns them into a non-betula. But if betula of damim is a natural process, you can't make a betula damim into a non-betula damim. You can make a virgin into a non-virgin. You can cut down a sycamore. You can plant in the karka. But you cannot do anything to change the status of a betula damim. We're not talking about that kind of betula. We're talking about a betula that can be changed. Yes, as if unutilized. And this is a borrowed term. It's never happened, but not never utilized, exactly. So this immediate lo toli b'masa lo katani. Rabbi Chanina Bereda Ravika says there's a simpler answer. Ki katani immediate lo ada lebriato. We are talking about the term virginess, where the violation of the virginity can never be changed. But a petulat damim, when she goes through menopause, is back to being the equivalent of a petulat damim. So it's really not the same sense of virginness. It's not going to change permanently. And therefore, it's not really the same idea. So, mini da'ada lebriyato lokatani. Ravina says, look, it's easier than that. The point is that we define terms that really are part of our commercial intercourse. So there, it's important to define what we're talking about. So if somebody wants to know, am I buying something that's a betula or not betula? But something which, who cares? So being the loka, do I care whether she's seen blood or not? It makes no difference to me. I'm talking about a commercial mission. I'm not talking about stam to define the word betula all over shas. So mide the kopedele zvina, something that would be important for commerce. But mide the kopedele zvina, if it's not important for commerce, I don't need to define. It's not what I'm coming to define. What do you mean? You're telling me that people don't need to know whether a woman has seen blood when they arrange a marriage, which is commerce? I thought milo kapte. In the same way that sourdough is a good thing for dough, and it makes the bread fluffier. So too, you might think that not bleeding is a good thing for a woman, but in fact, bleeding is a good thing for a woman, because Tanya Mishum Rabbi Meir, that wherever you find that a woman has a strong menstrual cycle, called Ishi Shadamea Merubin, Banea Merubin, it's a sign of greater fertility. So if somebody's interested in kids, so he'll say, listen, you know, is this girl proven to be fertile, and she's, you know, she's got like a serious menses? So then we'd have to tell him, well, you know, it's a little bit of a problem. She's never seen Dom. Forget it. So what are you telling me? It's not important in commerce. It is important in commerce. Okay, I mean, when I said commerce, I meant things that are valuable for commerce, not things that are just the opposite that people don't want. So I'm listing. There's three cases of virgin where a guy says, I want a virgin. I'm ready to pay more for a virgin. Okay, so you pay more for a human virgin, a sycamore virgin, and a karka virgin. You pay less for tulat damim. So I'm not going to define a case of tulat damim.
Is the virgin land more valuable?
It has much more nutrients that are left in it. It's never been used before.
And harder to work. So,
yeah, okay, but it's still, it means in the long term, I'm going to get more out of this thing. I want to start pouring in all of those genetically modified. Okay, so media lokof, it's a lezvina loktani. That's what I meant to say. Tana Rabbanan, just once we're on the topic, you might as well know, ezoi betulat karka, how would you tell? I mean, karka, you know, you might be talking about things that centuries and centuries ago was worked, and you're claiming that the word betulat karka means that it was never worked. So what would be an indication that something is betulat karka? Kol shema'ala rishushin. When you take out the earth, it comes out in blocks. In other words, it's never been loosened at all. Or another pshat is rishushin, is you've got a lot of small stones there that would have been removed. The in afrati choach, and the dirt does not turn into the usual, you know, softened material that we associate with dirt. It's not dirt, it's like a solid piece. And if you find something in there that indicates human habitation underground, so let's say you find a shard, archaeologists uncover something in there. Well, then obviously it was ground that had been used. So if it's nimtza b'cheres b'yadua shenevda, it's clear that it had been worked. If you find in it a sel atsunema, so you have leftover glaciers, you have very large stones that no one would have been able to work this land without having removed it, so then clearly it was not worked before. And harezu betulat karka. Do we have time to continue, or do we need to run?
5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes is perfect. Mi'uberet, the next case that the Mishnah said, what is a mi'uberet that is considered to be b'sulakat damim? Mishi yivada ubra, from the point that she is noticeably pregnant. And how much is that? V'kama hakarata ubar, says Sumchus, quoting Rabbi Meir, 3 months. And I can't prove it, but I can certainly give you strong indication from the Pasuk, Afa pishin ra'ya ladavar zech ladavar shnemar, v'yikim shlosh chodashim, speaking as we are in Shavuos about Tamar, we want to know, how did he know that Tamar was pregnant? It was about 3 months into her pregnancy. Man, if you call that a zecher ledover, what would you call a raya? I mean, that's a powerful raya, isn't it? Zecher ledover, it's a beferish apostate. Kroktiv, raya, I don't like you. What are you saying? I have sort of an indication. No, because, you know, mishudika diyalda letisha, vika diyalda leshiva. Look, it's possible, remember the days of the Gemara, it's possible to have a gestation period of only 7 months, which also the Romans reported, the Greeks reported. So in that case, it could be that maybe it isn't an absolute 3 months. Maybe it just happens to be that it was 3 months over there. I mean, I don't quite know about Tamar, even though at the end where we're going to assert that it's the same, it wouldn't make any difference. So therefore, you can't bring a 100% riot from this post, because I'm saying it's always 3 months.